Open your Bibles today to Psalm 34. I am very excited about the subject for this afternoon. I want to talk to you about divine protection. Let me begin by asking this question. When you think about God, what do you think of? In other words, if somebody said to you, if you were taking a test in a Sunday school class and it said, God is my blank, how would you fill that blank in? Many people would probably say, God is my creator, because He is our creator. And it says that in the Bible, that we're made in the image of God. Sometime you'll hear a person say, well, one day I'm going to die and step out into eternity, and I'm going to meet my maker. Well, I'll tell you this. When you step out into eternity, you want to meet more than your maker. You want to meet your Savior, right? Because a maker, that's kind of it's personal, and yet there's not a necessarily relationship with that. So for me, and maybe for you, if we were in Sunday school and God is my, we might be more inclined to put Savior. Because God is, that's who God really is. He's our Savior. Maybe you would answer that question by saying, God is my Father. Because He is. God is our Heavenly Father, and as our Heavenly Father, He promises to meet every need that we will ever have. He is a good Father. Reminds me of a poem I learned years ago by Elizabeth Cheney that goes something like this. It's talking about two birds, and these two birds were having a conversation one day about people and about God. And the poem says this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be. They have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. And so even the birds know that the Father in heaven is going to feed them and give them everything that they need. And I was reading yesterday in my own Bible reading in Matthew chapter 10, and Jesus said, you are of much more value than many sparrows, than many birds. Yes, God feeds the birds, but He is infinitely more interested in you because you, not the birds, you, me, human beings, we were made in the image of God. And once we're adopted into His family and become His children, He is going to meet our needs all the way until we get to heaven. So maybe you would say, you know what, in light of all that, I think I would answer that question in Sunday school by saying, God is my Father. All of those are good answers, but I want to give you one today that is equally good, it's equally true, and you may have never really thought about it. You could just as well say, in filling in that question, God is my protector. God is my protector. Let's say that together. God is my protector. Now, in Psalm 34, let's look in verse number 7. This is a tremendous chapter in the Bible, and this is a great verse. Look what it says. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. And so the Bible says that if you love God, if you fear God, if you have respect for God, if you trust God, if God is your Savior, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I think about that verse a lot of nights before I drift off to sleep. I'll lay in bed, I'll get turned over, and I think, God, I just thank you tonight before I go off to sleep that you've got angels all around my house. Anytime I take a trip or go anywhere, in fact, even if I'm not taking a trip, just sometime riding around town, God, I pray you'll send angels to be around my car to protect me and keep me safe. And that's what the scripture says, that the angel of the Lord encamps. You can't see these angels that are around you, but you're surrounded by angels right now. Now turn a few pages to the 91st Psalm. This is my mother's favorite verse in all the Bible, Psalm 91, and in verse number 11. Psalm 91:11. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He shall give His angels. In other words, in heaven, God has angels that He dispatches, that He sends to guard us, to protect us, to watch over us. And so we are so very thankful for that. When I was a child, I heard a story that I never have forgotten. I assume it's a true story. The point is made nonetheless. I think it was told to me as though it was true, so I assume it is. But the story goes like this. One night, a 19, 20-year-old college girl, aged girl, had been studying in the library at her university campus. And so it got to be about 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night when they closed the library down. And she needed to leave the library and walk back to her dorm, which was about a mile across the campus. And so she packed up her stuff, she put her backpack on, and she was walking back to her dorm. And of course, at that time at night, it's certainly dark, but not only that, there are not a lot of other students are not walking around in that moment. And so there were a few, but not many. Well, when she got about a half mile or quarter mile to her dorm, she had to go through an alley, and it was a dark alley. And so every time she went through this alley, she got nervous, and she always walked fast, and she just prayed that God would watch over and protect her. And on this particular night, as she was walking through that alley, she saw this really big, just a bad-looking guy, like just she knew he was up to no good. And he was approaching her, and it just scared her to death. You can imagine what she would have felt. And so she began to pray, God, I don't know who this man is, but he's coming towards me, and there's nobody out here to help me, and I don't know what he might have planned, but God, please somehow protect me. Send your angels to protect me, God, from this man. That was what was in her prayer in her heart. And as she kept walking, that man kept coming towards her, and then all of a sudden, he turned around and just ran away when he got within about 10 feet of her. Well, the next morning, she went back to her dorm that night, went to bed, slept through the night, got up the next day, had breakfast, went to class. Later in the day, she found a school newspaper. And in the school newspaper, it said, last night, after midnight, one of the students, one of the young ladies on our campus, was molested by a strange man. And we don't know who this man was, but if any of you have any idea who he might have been, if you could please go to the police station and see if you can identify him. Well, the girl didn't know if it was the same guy, but she thought there was a chance. And so she went to the police station, and they had, I don't know, we've got several police here today. I could ask you guys after the program if this is how you still do it. But back in that day, they just had a lineup. And so they were trying to identify who the bad guy was. And so they had it where she could see these guys, but they couldn't see her to protect her. And so when she got there and they were, was it him, was it him, was it him? And they got to one of the men. She said, it was him. That's the man. And the police said, well, we have had some other leads. We thought that this might be the one. Are you telling us? She said, I will never forget that man's face as long as I live. She said, I'm telling you, when he got within about 10 feet of me, I thought my life might be over. And he said, okay, we appreciate you coming to the station, identifying this man. And she said to the police officer, she said, sir, I don't know anything about police policies, and I don't know if this is even allowed, but would it be possible if I spoke to that man for just a few moments and asked him why he ran away from me last night? And so the police said, well, you can do that, but we're going to be there with you, not going to just be you and him. And she said, however y'all do it. And so that happened, and this young girl said to this guy that she had identified as her would-be assailant, she said, sir, last night I was walking down that alley, and I saw you, and I was alone, and I was scared to death, and you got within about 10 feet of me, and I was just praying as hard as I could pray, and you just turned around and ran away. And she said, I'm just wondering, why did you run away from me when you got within 10 feet of me? And this man said to her, are you kidding me? Why would you even ask that question? With those two big men on each side of you, I was running for my life. Now, when I was told that story, I heard it, and the preacher who told it was told as though those two men were God's angels. You know, it says in the Bible that sometimes angels take the appearance of a human being. Sometimes you can be in the presence of an angel and not even know it. And so what I'm saying to you is, when we think about who God is, yes, He's our Savior, yes, He's our Father, but He is also our protector. And when we're out going through life and traveling and in situations, you can't see it, but God has stationed His angels all around us. There's a story in the Old Testament about Elisha, and Elisha was facing some challenges in his life, and he had this assistant who was really his servant, and one day they were in almost a battle, and the servant was really afraid, and Elisha said, because he wasn't afraid at all, he was trusting the Lord, and Elisha prayed, and he said, God, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes, and he was able to see what Elisha had been able to see all along, that they were surrounded by chariots of fire and by, it would be like heaven's angels to protect them and to keep them safe. And so I'm saying to you today that God is your protector. Those times in your life when you nearly got in an accident, but you didn't get in an accident, I believe it was God's angels who protected you and who kept you safe. Or maybe you were in harm's way and you just thought, man, I've got to get out of this situation. Somebody's got an evil scheme or a plan for me. And somehow you were able to get out of the situation. Or maybe you were able to avoid being in the situation. You look back and say, man, that's really amazing. Isn't that neat, or isn't that ironic? Well, it may be neat, but it's not ironic. It's God protecting you and sending His angels to direct you and even to redirect your path. And so sometimes God does things like that, and we can't even see it. And we need to pray what Elisha prayed. God, open my eyes that we can see all the different ways that you're out there protecting us. You know, we had a man in our church several years ago, one Sunday morning while at church, he had a stroke. And so our medical team quickly responded and did all that they could do. And of course, they called 911, and the ambulance came immediately to the church. And they said to his family, your husband, your father, is having a stroke, and we need to get him to the nearest hospital. And his son said, please, all of his doctors are downtown in the medical center. Please, take him to Methodist or to Herman or to St. Luke's. Take him to one of those hospitals. And the ambulance driver said, no, there's a law that if somebody's having a heart attack or stroke, we've got to take them to the closest hospital that is qualified to deal with this. And so they took him to Bayshore Hospital. And interestingly enough, and for those of you medically, you know, doctors and nurses who may be here today or who administrators in the hospitals, you'd know more about this than I do. But as best as I can recall, there are five levels of hospitals. And level five is the top. And they rank hospitals not just by the hospital itself, but by the, you know, by the emergency room, by the cardiovascular care, and by all this. Well, I was very interested and very pleased to learn that right here in Pasadena, Bayshore Hospital has just really, over the years, stepped up their game and had made incredible improvements. And they are a level 5 trauma emergency room if somebody has had a stroke or a heart attack. And so they took this man to Bayshore, took him through the ER, gave him the shot just in time. Might not have even had time to get the shot if they'd have taken him downtown. But it certainly couldn't have turned out any better for him, because the shot reversed the effects of the stroke, prevented the from doing any permanent damage. I saw him at church Sunday night. He looks fantastic. He feels great. And God spared his life. I've thought about that many times over the years. What if that man would have been home that Sunday? What if he would have woken up that day and his wife would have said, hey, it's Sunday morning, time to go to church. And he would have said, well, you know, I'm not feeling so good. I think I'm just not going to go today. Well, if he would have been home by himself when he had that stroke, it's quite possible that he would have died. But he wasn't home and he wasn't by himself. He was at church. He was with people who care about him. And they were able to respond and to help to save his need and to meet his life. And so God is always protecting us and taking care of us. Now, we don't have time to look at as much scripture as I'd hoped we would, but sometime later you might want to read in Matthew chapter 2 in the New Testament, where Jesus had been born in chapter 1, and after he had been born, of course, Herod, the evil king, had decided that he wanted to destroy all of the babies who were Jesus' age, because he was threatened, because everybody was saying, the king of the Jews has been born. Herod's thinking, well, I'm the king of the Jews. And so Herod made a decree that all these babies were going to be killed. Well, since Jesus and his family were living in Bethlehem, Jesus' life was in risk. One night, while Joseph, his earthly father, was asleep, an angel appeared to Joseph. And the angel said, take your son, take your wife, take your family, get out of Israel, go down to Egypt, because Herod is going to have all the babies killed. And if you don't get Jesus out of here, he'll have him killed too. So Joseph woke up and got Mary, and they took Jesus, and they went down to Egypt. And Herod had all those babies killed. But Jesus wasn't killed. See, the devil has been trying to destroy Jesus from the very beginning of time. And yet God protected Jesus even as a baby, got him out of harm's way. And then after Herod died, the angel spoke to Joseph again in Egypt and said, those who sought your son's harm have died. Now you can go back to Israel. And so they did. And the point I'm making is that God is our protector. And so as Christians, whatever we face in life, God is protecting us. God is helping us. God is leading us. I had another member of our church just the other day. He was in visiting patients' hospital. His mother was having serious health issues. And while the member of our church was visiting that hospital, he began to have some weird heart palpitations. He began to feel a little bit lightheaded. He began to not feel very good at all. And about this time, a nurse came in and to check on his mother. And while he was there, the nurse said to the man, said, you don't look so good. Are you okay? And he said, well, I don't know. I just feel lightheaded. And she said, let me take your blood pressure. He wasn't even a patient. He was there to visit his mom. And so this nurse at patient's hospital put the blood pressure machine on his arm, took his blood pressure. It was through the roof. And she said to him, I can't let you go home. You've got to go to the emergency room. So they took him, got him into the emergency room. The next day, they did a heart cath on him. Found out that he had severe blockage. A few days later, he had either triple or quadruple bypass surgery. And the doctor said, if you wouldn't have had this surgery, there's no way you would have lived. I mean, you were coming to the end without this divine intervention. Now you think about that. He just happened to be in a hospital visiting his mother when he starts having all these problems. I need to tell that story sometime when I'm preaching about honor your father and mother, right? That your days may be long on the earth. Because he was honoring his mom, and in the process of honoring his mom, God saved his own life. See, that wasn't accidental. That was providential. God had him there. So what I'm saying to you today is whatever you face in life, sickness, surgery, threats, dangers, intimidation, you know, people this happens. People threaten people's lives and threaten people's danger, threaten people's safety. We are children of God, and God is our protector, and we need to pray, God, open my eyes that I can see that you have sent angels to protect and to watch over me. Amen? I want to close with this story today that I've only told one time, and it's been so long ago. You know, my brother always says to me, John, you worry so much about repeating stories. He said, by the time the people get to the parking lot, they forget everything you said. So, really made me feel good. But when I was about a junior or senior in high school, my best friend growing up had been a guy named Clint Bain. And we had gone through junior high together in East Texas, gone through high school together. He's now a police officer. He may even, I'm not sure exactly what his rank is, but he's a policeman in East Texas. And we were friends all the way through high school. Well, one Sunday night, our family had gotten home from church and all gone to bed. And I don't know, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. And I answered it. And a voice on the other end said, hey, John, this is Clint. And he said, I'm broken down over here off of Texas Street by the junior high. My truck's broken down. Could you come over here and pick me up and take me home? I said, yeah, man, I'll be there. No problem. Give me just a few minutes to get my shoes on and I'll be there. And so I hung the phone up and I started getting dressed to ride over probably about 5 miles from where we lived. And I never will forget, my dad walked in the room and he said, who was that called? Because I had answered the phone in my room. I said, I was old Clint. He said, what did Clint call me over here at 2 in the morning? What's wrong? I said, oh, he's broken down off of Texas Street over by the junior high. Something happened to his truck. And he said, I'm going to go over and pick him up. He said, okay, be careful. Be quiet when you come in. He went back to his room to go to bed. And a couple minutes later, he came back in. He said, this story just doesn't add up to me. He said, Clint, what would he even be doing on Texas Street at 2 o'clock in the morning? He said, I'm going to call his mother, Ruby, and just say, hey, Ruby, you must be word sick about Clint, but we know where he is. John's going to get him. He said, before you go, let me call Ruby and assure her that everything's going to be okay. So he called Ruby and said, Ruby, this is Dr. Redmond. He said, Clint's, or he was going to tell her that. Well, when he called, Clint answered the phone. And my dad said, Clint, did you just call John? He said, no, sir, Dr. Edmund, I didn't call John. I've been over here, been asleep. He said, well, somebody just called John, said that they were you, and that you were broken down on Texas Street, and you wanted him to come pick him up. He said, Dr. Edmund, I don't know who called, but I'm not on Texas Street. I'm in bed, and I don't know what this is. Well, Dad, as they say in the country, he smelled a rat. And so he called the police department. And he said, look, because we were friends with the police department there, blessed there, just like we are here. And he told them that story, and they said, well, because some other things had happened at the church, some weird things. Our church was located on Interstate 30, not far from the interstate. So you had a lot of people just passing through the interstate, and they knew about the church. And so anyway, they said, I don't know, Dr. Redmond, that's a weird thing. They said, probably it's nothing. Maybe Clint called in his sleep and doesn't remember calling. You know, it's probably something simple as that. They said, but we're kind of having a slow night here in Silver Springs. We'll just send one of our guys out there and check it out and see if anybody's on Texas Street. Well, they sent one of the policemen out there, and as it turned out, there wasn't one guy, but there were three guys in a pickup truck on Texas Street that were not from Silver Springs. And so I don't remember legally how that all got worked out, but I do remember in the subsequent days as my dad was talking to the police department there, and they were trying to kind of figure this whole thing out. They said, you know, Dr. Redmond, there's been some thefts and some robberies and things going on around in town and maybe even some attempted robberies at churches. And they said, the only thing we can figure out is this, that that these guys knew that you were the pastor of First Baptist Church in Pasadena, and they had done a little research, and they knew that John was your son, and they knew that John's best friend was Clint Bain, and these people evidently, maybe we're wrong, but the only thing we can figure out, based on some other things, we figured out that they must have thought that since you're the pastor, you have access to all the money at the church. And so they just probably figured if they got John, then they'd hold him for ransom and they'd call you and you'd have to give them all the money. And of course, it wasn't true there. And I want to say for any bad guys out there today, we don't have any cash at this church, okay? And if we have $20 or $30, it's in a safe. I don't even know where the safe is. I don't have a key. I don't even know if it has a key or a combination. I don't want to know any of that. So if you come after me, you're not going to get anything, okay? But the point is, I was 16 or 17 years old when that happened. And I just remember when he told me that, how that he had, you know, how that all had gone down. I thought to myself, isn't that just like God? To protect us, to put in my dad's heart, hey, call Ruby before John goes out there. See, sometimes God protects us by giving us a warning in our spirit. Don't go there. You better be careful here. You better not get in that situation. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 27:12, says it this way: the prudent see danger and take refuge. Sometimes people think, well, if you run from danger, you're a coward. You're not a coward. If God told you to run, you're wise. The prudent see danger and take refuge. And so when you feel in your spirit a little warning sign from God, something's not right, don't go there. What is that? That is God protecting you. It may be in a different way than he protected that girl with the angels. It may be in a different way than he protected those two men who had the health problems. It may be that God is protecting you by keeping you out of harm's way so that you can be safe and so that you can fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life. Amen? Father, I thank you today that you're not only our creator. If we have received Jesus Christ, you're our Savior and our Father. But not only that, you are our protector. Father, I pray for each and every person here today that you would protect us all, keep us safe. I pray especially for our police personnel who are here today. God, they're here to protect us. I'm asking you to protect them, keep them safe, keep our leaders safe, keep us all safe, and in the center of your will is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.